And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael here at DetroitLions.com as we talk NFL football, Lions football, 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 football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken Brown.
An exhilarating weekend of games, Mike O'Hara. We're going to get to that, and we're going to say how it relates to the Lions, some trends, I think, that we saw this weekend, and what the Lions need to do going forward as you see the cream of the crop play for Mr. Vince Lombardi's trophy.
Well, that's pretty dramatic way to set it, but that's also right. But yeah. I don't know about great football or whatever, but it was, certainly it was an interesting weekend. It really was.
Are you seeing, this is off the topic, I just thought of this, so bear with me for a second. Do you think that the NFL in that 17th game is hindering the performance in the playoffs with guys getting hurt? Because I don't know if it seems like there's more injuries, but this just seems to me like more of the good players or the named players are getting injured or banged up. And is the product suffering by it in that 17th game?
Well, I think you'd only know that if the guys got injured in the 17th game, and I don't think that's happened. So, no, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
In other words, if the guy got hurt in the 15th game, it doesn't apply because he hasn't played 17. He hasn't played the 16th game.
And do you think the play has gotten any worse with the added game?
No, not really. No, I don't. I mean, a good example, the Lions and the Packers in week 17. That was a great football game. I don't care who played in it. It was tight. It was good. There was hitting. There was defense. There were a few offensive plays, and there was something at stake. So, no, that game itself, to me, stands as an example. That really, what you're talking about doesn't really hold water.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there because
sure.
I just want to know when the study's going to be done on the impact the 17th game has had on players' health and on the game itself. And this is only the second year of it, so I don't think you can really do any statistical analyzing of it right now. But I think after 5 years, I like to look back and see, in the totality, was there any change? Because you know the NFL wants to add that 18th game.
And if the NFL Players Association agrees to it in bargaining, then fine, go ahead.
That doesn't make it right that the NFL Players Association will sell out for money to do it. It doesn't make it right.
What else would they be there for if it's not for money?
Well, that's all they're going to do it for, but it's not doing anything for player health or safety or the game itself. It's just a money grab. And I got another thing while we're talking about money grabs. And Mike Florio from the ProFootballTalk.com has been expounding on this, and I've seen other people pick it up now. If they start playing the championship game at neutral sites, I think I might be done with it. I think I might be done with the league.
So you're not going to watch any football?
I think I might be done with it because that means greed has taken over. Because to me, the greatest games in history had an appeal by where they were played, especially those championship games.
I think it's something that you can talk about it, but I don't think it's something that you should do. They've gotten along fine since 1935 doing it this way. It's been, I don't think anything bad has happened. And I also think there's a reward for winning. There's a reward for, in the case of the Eagles going 14-3, having the best record and being at home throughout the playoffs. I think there's a benefit in that.
Right. The Super Bowl is one thing. I can understand one game played at a neutral site.
Sure.
But for the championship, think of some of the great games that were played in Lambeau Field or the games that were played in, wherever, New York Giants when they played or whatever, the games in New York. That's the basis of football sometimes is where it's played as well as who's playing. Think about it, Mike. There's only going to be so many teams that can take the championship game if they're going to play in pro stadiums.
I agree with that, it's just stupid.
Right.
I mean, like Detroit, where we have a dome, you could play it anytime.
Right.
Could you play it? Could you make it a destination in Cincinnati? Probably not. In some other places. I think it's doing fine just the way
it is. Just leave it the way it is. The NFL, I know you love making money, but you've squeezed the lemon to make as much as possible, and I'm sure you could squeeze it more if you had to, but it gets to a point where sometimes enough is enough and just, go status quo for a while. And I think the NFL is getting to that point now. And I remember Mark Cuban said that. He said the NFL is going to destroy itself with their greed. And, you know, he should be talking to the basketball team to destroy some degree. But he did make a point. He does make a point. He does make a point that if anything disrupts this league, there's two things that could happen. It could be a gambling scandal, and by them getting in bed with these gamblers, they're asking for trouble with these gambling sites. And number two would be that they just try to squeeze every dollar out of a person. And those are the two things they got to look out for, man.
Well, one thing about the gambling sites, Kenny, is they're bringing it out in the open. So you can regulate it a lot easier if you know what's going on than if you don't.
No, I'm not talking about that part of it. But I'm talking about a scandal within a team throwing a game. And when you open it up to the gambling, you open it up to that, you know, to that part of the game. And football is probably harder to throw a game than other sports. But it's just the marriage. You got in bed with them, and the marriage you have with them, it could end up in divorce, I'm telling you.
Ken, why would it be any easier? Look, they've had gambling forever, the National Football League. It just hasn't been public. It hasn't been regulated by the states. And now that it's regulated, I think
no, but there wasn't a marriage between the NFL and gambling. They made sure they put a wall between themselves and gambling up until the time where now they embrace it.
Now they realize the amount of money they can make on it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Then again, you just said it. The money they could make, Mike.
Well, of course.
Okay. Like I said, there's only so much money worth tainting your product. And I'm just saying, I don't want to get into it. This is
way
off
the subject. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know how I even got on the gambling subject, but I'm just thinking about the NFL trying to squeeze dollars out of you in this championship game going elsewhere. But I'm just going to say this last point. When you get in bed with these gamblers, and if a team ever gets caught throwing a game, and especially if it's a playoff game, you'll start your league on a downfall. That's all I'm going to say about it. You know, there's always been illicit gamblers going on, but they were never guys that you were corporate and you wouldn't have dinner with them like these gambling sites now where you're in bed with them. And they expect some. You think they like all the money they put in? Jamie Foxx must have made more money this year off that damn gambling site than he did acting, because I only see him on these damn gambling commercials burying them. Tell me how much money all these guys are making.
Kenny, you've talked another 5 minutes after saying you're going to
get it. I know.
Let's now take your own advice.
Let's get to it. I see that
you're done.
You must be. Do you got a sponsorship?
I do not have a sponsorship.
Okay, I'm just putting that out there.
And I don't gamble on sports.
That's good. Well, gambling is not a problem. Well, you can't, but I would if I,
well, I
if I was. I'm cheap. That's why I don't gamble. I'm cheap. Every penny I got, I know where it's going. Trust me.
I go to the casino. I play blackjack. I don't gamble on sports.
When I go to the casino, I go to the I don't know what I do. I just stand in there and watch people hit those slot machines. I like to see the old ladies on the slots. It's very exhilarating for me. All right, so yesterday's games went on. I had tweeted with Dan Miller last night during the game, and I said it, and he kind of agreed with me that Detroit Lions could play with any of these teams. I didn't say they would beat them, but they could play with any of them. If they would have been put in any of these games, they would have competed.
Well, I think they would have given a more representative performance, for example, than the Buffalo Bills did against the Bengals, getting beat 27-10. Never really in the game. They went down 14-0 and they had the ball for three plays and had 14-point salvo. New York Giants, same thing. You know, why'd they show up? They didn't show up to play. They never showed a bit of energy in that game and just got absolutely throttled by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, but
I agree with you.
Yeah, and the Giants, if you go back and look at their record for the year, that's what they were. That's what they were, Mike. They had a little run. They got out to a 7-2 start on some, you know, some close games, and then they kind of folded back down, and then they won a couple at the end to get in against teams that, you know, weren't really competitive. Then they played a Minnesota Viking team, which I think was the fraud of every team in the playoffs this year. And they were what they were. What you saw out of them was what they were. The one that disappointed me was Buffalo, because that was a home game. And even if you would have lost a home game, I expected more than 10 points out of Josh Allen.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Oh, absolutely. But look, I think really when you look at it, by and large, the teams played the way you expected them to play for the most part, and the players performed the way, you know, to the level you'd expect most of them. You know, Josh Allen would have been, you know, the opposite of that. You'd expected a big performance from him, but he just didn't give it. He just didn't have it that day.
Yeah, but plus the last part of the season, he was reckless with the ball anyway. And
yep.
If you didn't learn anything, and we're going to get to the next person reckless with the ball, that you can't go into the playoffs. You can't play playoff football reckless as a quarterback. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. Sometimes you can get away with it for a quarter or a half, but that recklessness with the ball is going to get you in the end. And I'm going to the 49er Cowboy game, where Dak Prescott reverted to reckless Dak after a week where he was playing Tampa. And I said it last week. I said, they were playing Tampa now, so don't get all in emotions about how great Dallas played, because that was Tampa, a team that was, like, ready to fall, as a boxer would say, at the 12. They were staggering around until they got to the game and were ready to fall. Cowboys got a lot of problems, and I'm here for them because, I don't like the Cowboys. Next to Green Bay, the Cowboys are on my list of teams I love to see fail.
But, you know, when you look at the Cowboys, there's nothing really different that happened Sunday than happened in the last 30 years with them. There's 27 years since they won their last Super Bowl. They make, you know, they dominate the National Football League from the middle of February until the playoffs start. And then the cream comes to the, you know, rises to the top, and they're sort of, you know, just a curiosity act. And they go by the wayside. The players, the teams, the good teams take over. And then that happened through the Super Bowl, and then middle of February, back comes the road show with the Dallas Cowboys. They've been that way forever.
Well,
they've made a fortune out of it. They really have. But we get what we expect from them.
Yeah, their fortune was made though in the '80s and '70s before they got there. I think they
not the way it is now.
No, but what I'm saying is though, the die was set with the Tom Landry's, and then when Jerry Jones took over and he had the quick run with the coach from Miami,
Jimmy Johnson,
then that was set. But they've been living off that rep for 20 years now. And if, like I said, Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys are living off reps from years ago. And if you take them from the last 20 up, they're just like any other average team in the league that gets in the playoffs, folds out or whatever. They just got the reputation because they were in the TV age of football when it really got big. They were the great teams, and that's how they're living. And like I said, until Jerry Jones steps out and gets out of the way and lets somebody competent, not his son, be the general manager and put a team together. Because if you tell me right now, Mike, what is Dallas, this team? What are they known for? This team?
Promotion.
No, I'm talking about on the field.
That's what I'm talking about. They're known for promotion. That's what they're good at. And Jerry Jones is the best promoter in the National Football League. He really is. And you can really look at he's had an impact on other teams because they've built or remodeled or upgraded their stadiums and try to compete at some level. Now they're not going to compete at the same level as the Cowboys because of the money they've got and the resources they've built and the size of the stadium and the reputation they've built. But in that regard, I think he's been good for the league.
But you still haven't answered my question. I said on the field.
On the field, I said, right, I'm just telling you.
No, I'm talking about the actual team, the players themselves. Forget about all the stuff around it, the stadium, the look, the what. On the field, is that a defensive team? Is it an offense? What is that team?
It's a team that goes a certain distance and can't get any farther. But they do, you know, they have their runs there. They make the playoffs. They get knocked out in the first round or second round, but it's not like they're, you know, 3-14, 3-13, you know, 4-12 year after year. They compete, they contend, but they're not good enough. They're not as good as the image they project.
I couldn't tell, like I said, until they step out of the way and let a GM put a team together, because I don't see a congruent team, and I haven't for a while. They just like pick up a star here. They'll do one thing. They'll have a defensive line coach or a defensive coach for a couple of years that'll put together a decent defense. Then the offensive work, they do this, they do that. Let's bring this guy in. Let's get Parsons. They just do a bunch of stuff, but it's not like you go to Dallas, this is what we do, this is what we are, and this is the way we play. And until they get back to that, that's what they were with Jimmy Johnson. You knew what they were. until you get back to that, what you're going to get is what you got yesterday. You go out there to a team you should have beaten easy yesterday, because I don't think the 49ers played that great a game yesterday.
No, look, they're very, very tough on defense, and I think they're just a better team overall than the Dallas Cowboys. You might say that you don't know their identity on the field, and I will tell you one thing: you and the other football fan or the football fans around America, they know who they are and they know where they are, and that's the way Jerry Jones has built that his own little empire out there with the Dallas Cowboys.
But you got to win.
Well, I'm just saying. But
I don't know what you're saying, but I'm telling you, you got to win. You can build this little empire. The empire is a trading card empire or a merchandising empire. There's no empire on football. There's no empire on what matters. It's just Jerry Jones making crazy decisions year after year and fooling Dallas Cowboy fans into thinking, you know, the pretty shiny object. But when you look under the hood of that team, it's not good.
No, it's not an ultimate winner, but like I said, they provide entertainment. That's why they're on Monday night and Sunday night football more than anybody, because people want to see them, Kenny.
Yeah, they want to see them, Mike, but like I said, after a while, you know, the car crash in the circus, you know, people, they don't want to go again, and they're not going to believe it. And they're not going to go in every year after year saying, all right, this is the year. No, one of these years, and I think it's coming up now, people are going to say, until you get there, just leave me alone.
No, that's not going to happen. That doesn't happen with the National Football League in hardly any place, and it's certainly not going to happen with the Cowboys. They've got their brand, and those people think that they're the, you know, wait till next year fan base, and they'll be back. But that place is packed, 90,000, you know, 9 times a year. That's what he's built.
Well, we'll check back on it if they keep.
You don't have to like it. I mean, you don't have to like it. You don't have to enjoy it. But the reality is, he's built a circus. Okay.
He's built a circus.
Like I said,
you know,
he's the best promoter in the National Football League.
But how many times are you going to see the clowns get into the car without saying, "I've seen that"? And it's going to come a point. Unless he actually gets a product that can win, not a teaser, and they're gonna get sick of it. And like I said, we'll I don't want to partake too long on that. I want to move on, but we'll just come back to that. But I just think that there's a couple of things going on with Dallas that they showed me yesterday in the 49ers. And I didn't think the 49ers are that great a team here. They're good defense. They're good defensively.
Well, they got the top defense in the league.
They're good defensively. That's what I said. But I think that quarterback was average yesterday. That team could have been beat yesterday by a good team.
Well, that quarterback was average. I think he's got a base salary of $600,000. He outplayed the guy across from him who made $40 million.
Not arguing that. But my point being, I'm just talking about on a purely football stance. That game, he played average yesterday, and they could have been beat. Man, they scored 12 points. Like you said, a team with a $45 million quarterback scored 12 points. Even as good as San Francisco was defensively, there were plays there to be made for touchdowns. They should have scored 25 points at least that game. There were 25 points worth of plays that a normal average to good quarterback would have made that Dak didn't make, and they'll have to deal with that themselves. But – like I said, we'll see this week because Philadelphia is going to put some heat on. And I won't give my prediction right now, but you'll see Mr. Rookie quarterback this week, because now you're playing somebody. Now you're playing a team that's not going to back down from you.
Well, it's not a question of that. I think that you're seeing a team that is overcoming a glaring weakness. They're playing a third string quarterback. And that, you know, look, you are allowed to coach. You are allowed to plan. You are allowed to make changes. And I think the coaching staff of the San Francisco 49ers should be applauded for what they've been able to do with that, you know, third-string rookie, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, at the helm. I think it's been remarkable. What, they've won 10 straight now?
I think it's 11 straight now. But, yeah, I agree. I agree it's a good coaching job. But like I said, you got to – one day you're going to face that team. It should have been this week, because I just think that San Francisco – is one of these cars that are about to fall. And the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be the card maker, because he's going to face the Heat this week. They got 70 sacks as a team, the Eagles. They're coming for him. This is the one of those games where he's going to look like, he's been looking like a rookie kind of the last couple of weeks, but this is one where a team will take advantage of it if you look like a rookie. So we'll see.
Just one other thing. Listen, you can't shortchange the 49ers for what they've accomplished. I mean, this is their third time in 4 years they've been to the conference championship. It's not a one-year wonder.
I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm taking something away from the quarterback. I don't want to hear this. He's the greatest last pick in the draft ever, and he's this great rookie quarterback, and Roethlisberger and him are the only ones that did that. No. He's been in a nice system, asked not to do anything, just don't mess up. But now that you get into these games where everything's on the line, you got to do more than just not mess up. You got to make some plays, and I don't think he's capable.
Well, let me just go give you this here real quick here. We've had gambling, we've had the Cowboys, and we've had the quarterback of the 49ers. That's three on your hate list. Who's next?
I'm going to get to my next point. And this brings it back to the Lions now.
Okay.
One thing I learned watching all these games this week with the better teams, and we didn't even get to say, let's just put this out there because I don't want to get long on it. Joe Burrow is probably one of the – he's not the best quarterback in the league now. He will be in the next year, and he's worth everything he gets, and that's a real number one pick overall.
Okay. I agree with you, except I think he's the best quarterback in football right now.
Could be.
I think Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the best player. Mm-hmm. But this is the best pure quarterback.
If he's not, he will be soon, but he is. Now, let's bring it back to the Lions. That's what you take with a number one or a top five pick. Somebody like that, they'll change a franchise. Not the Jeff Okudas of the world, where you got the number three pick in that same draft, and now you're looking to replace them. You know?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. That's the difference between the evolution of a team and a team struggling to get somewhere. You don't waste top five, top ten picks on pedestrian to good players. You want the great ones. Now, that brings us around to what I'm about to talk about. Watching these games, Mike, the formula to winning is still running the game and defense. And the quarterback thing, that all comes in after that, and the passing and all that. But the thread I see running through this thing is strong defense, strong on both sides of the line, and a good running game. That'll take you far.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think you can. There's nothing wrong with having a quarterback who complete passes down the field like Joe Burrow. I mean, look, that's in addition to the Bills not playing very well, but the way he played, the way he just took them apart, that was magnificent. It really was. Now they did. They ran for 170 some yards, but they also set up a lot of that stuff with his arm. I mean, look, that is a transcendent player there in the National Football League.
Yeah, it is. But like again, I'm gonna go back to it. Strong on the lines, running the game. The quarterback, that's always a must. You know, the quarterback play is always a must, so I'm just excluding that. So you can leave Burrow out of the equation. I'm just saying 49ers are playing that way. The Eagles are playing that way. Kansas City is playing that way because when Mahomes got hurt, it was the running game that kept them in the game. And a backup quarterback, which is the sixth most important position in the league, as I try to tell you.
Henny. I thought he was up to fifth.
It was six or five. You could take it. To any of those two is acceptable. So I'll let that go. But I'm making this long, drawn-out statement to tell you that I was looking at some of the drafts today. Bucky Brook has put out his mock draft. And I'm telling you right now, Mike, if Bijan Robinson's there at 18, I'm taking a hard look. I know the running back tail or whatever, but Bijan Robinson – if he is what I think he is, and the combine and the scouts will tell you soon enough, that's cherry on the top of that offense, and then they're ready to go. I am not against that at 18. So I'm just putting that out there for right now. And I'm taking it and running to the bank with it. Instead of getting some pedestrian corner, which I can get one in the second round, probably do as much as the 18th pick, or get one in the third round. If I can get the top running back in the draft at 18, and put him in that offense, I'm good. So that's where I'm looking at right now, because I think that's the improvement the Lions are going to make next year is in the running game on offense.
Well, I sent in my first mock draft and doesn't get published for another week, but I considered him at 18. I really did, but I'm not strongly because I'm trying to project what I think they're going to do, and I don't think that would is something they would do, but you never know with Brad Holmes. I mean, look, he's been pretty sharp, you know, for 2 years now. There's no reason to think he won't be sharp again in his third year as general manager of the Lions. And that, look, the devaluation of running backs, I've never fully agreed with it, but it is what it is. But apparently this is a special running back. Now, I got to admit, I haven't seen much of him play, but he certainly is highly recommended.
I think the devaluation of running backs is occurring for two reasons. And it's not about the position or the running back itself. It's just that because of the game now, it's pretty much a money ball game. You don't get 10 years out of a running back anymore. And that's why they devalue them. Oh, it's not worth a top 15 pick if you can't get 10 years out of them. Well, I don't go for that. Give me, if you got five great ones in you, I'll take a 10 to 20 pick for that. I mean, I'll take a first round pick on that. You just run them until they can't run. But a running game, Mike, a special back is always going to be needed in that league, and that's just the way it is. Now, you want to quibble over where you should take them? That's different than what I'm talking about. The effect on the field.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't disagree that the running back's important. I mean, look at the Lions' last game against the Green Bay Packers. Look. You know, Jamal Williams was a stud in that game. I mean, he I wouldn't say he dominated the game, but he certainly made a lasting impression on, you know, when you walked away from that game, a lot of people were thinking about one guy, Jamal Williams, with those two touchdowns and that tough running he did.
Yeah. Well, as I said, the things are heating up. A lot of people are going to the blocks now. A lot of free agency talk is starting up. You get to that point now, February is coming, it's almost combine season. Things about the Lions getting better, and after watching these games, they are, with a young team like they are, they're in such a position. I don't see any great team in NFC after, you know, for next year. I know this year's not over. If you want to say the Eagles are the greatest team, they can be beat. They can get them next year with the right moves during the offseason. If the Lions have the proper offseason, they can be in the mix next year, Mike.
Well, I think they're going to have a hard time beating them, though.
Next year?
Yeah, well, because they're not on the schedule.
Oh, there's a game that they can play. There's a game that they can match them up in, though. It's called the NFC Championship. There's a game you can meet them in. There's a game you can meet them now. It may not be the regular season, but there's a game you can meet them.
Yep, I know. I'm with you. Look, they got beat by them by 3 points in the opener, you know, and they played them probably as hard as anybody until late in the season when the quarterback went out with an injury and they were a team that could be hit then. But they're awfully good, Kenny. They've done a great job of putting draft picks together and trades and moving up and down. They've got a top 10 pick in this year's draft. But they had the best record in football.
Number 10. Yep, they got number 10. Me and Dan were talking about that game, too, the other day. I was talking to Dan. I keep dropping Dan Miller's name. I just happened to see him the other day. We were talking about that game, too, at Philly, that first game, and he reminded me, and I forgot. The Lions were like one stop away from getting the ball back to win that game, and they had the guy hemmed up, if you remember. And it was Miles Sanders or somebody who broke 3-4 first down where they had him like 4 yards deep in the backfield, and I forgot who it was, missed the tackle at the time. And that was the third down play. They would have had the punt, and the whole game could have been – just think if that game changes, they win that first game. Philadelphia doesn't go on that, you know, when they went undefeated for the first how many weeks of the season. Lions start with it. It just changes everything.
Well, yeah, it does. And, you know, the Lions don't go 1-6 either. And you know what? They're in the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
At the very least, they're 10-7.
So next year I want to see them start off hot. Couple of things before we get out of here that I want to say. I'm looking more at free agency for next year for the help than the draft. Am I wrong with that, or should I be looking to the draft is where they get most of the help for next year, not for the future years, for next year? Which is going to help them most win next year?
Well, you do well at both, but I think you get a prime free agent. It does wonders for you. It really does. I mean, if you can isolate on one position or maybe two, probably one, But I would want a good young player with years to come. Like, I wouldn't want a, 32-year-old
guy,
whatever.
Right.
I want somebody who's 26, 27 on his second contract, and they're hard to get, though. They really are, because teams don't let them go.
Sure.
They lock them up, but that's what I'd be looking for. Yeah, and hopefully, look, a defensive player, a linebacker, somewhere defensive line, whatever, good, strong player in the secondary. I think that would, it's no secret. And Brad Holmes came right out and said it. Look, they're this 32nd rated team on defense in the National Football League. And so it's no doubt in my mind that that's where he's going to, focus his assets on, is building the defense. But they've got a couple of issues on offense, too. You know, a real tight end, not just a one of three guys playing the position, and another guard on an already good offensive line, but another guard to step in at right guard if, in fact, they need that.
You can get a starting guard in the NFL draft in the third round, as we've seen, and a good 80. One, because guard is a position that you rarely see taken high in the draft, because either there's so many of them or there's other positions people want to go for first. So if that top 100, that 88th pick or 100, whatever the number is for the third round, you can get a starting guard at that spot. So I'm with you with the guard. I told you, you put that line together with a strong guard on that right side next to Sewell, and then you're ready to move. So I'm agreeing with you on that. Now,
well, I mean, and look at this. They've got two first-round picks, 6 and 18, two second-round picks. So they're right in a fairly high, third-round player. That's five picks they've got. They can manipulate them a lot of different ways.
And that's at the time, because that five may turn into seven. Because, like you said, you could. There's no player, I think, going to be there where you can't listen for trade downs or trade ups if it's a player you want. So I don't think they're stuck in any position on that board. They're going to move. They're going to be players on draft day. They're going to move around a lot. That's my prediction.
Well, that's the prediction, too. And I just doing my mock draft and what it's already on the board, there's opportunities to move up and down. Especially with the way teams that already have quarterbacks who have high draft picks, and teams that don't have quarterbacks and have high picks. So I think there's going to be a substantial opportunity for quarterback movement in the draft this year.
Now, my last question before we roll out of here today, quarterback, since you brought it up, do you go get a veteran to back up Goff, or do you draft high? And I don't mean, well, I'll let you be the judge, wherever you want to draft one. Do you draft a quarterback high to be a backup next year?
Well, if you draft a quarterback, he's not a true backup then, because he's a development project. He's not a guy that you can just send out there and run your offense for you. If he's a rookie and a mid-round draft pick. So I think you've got to decide, you have to make a decision. Which way are you going with it? And that's your plan going in. To me, I would like a veteran who's played. But look, we've seen some of those. Really, we talk about who the Lions have. That's pretty much standard in the National Football League of what you have for backup quarterbacks. Look, we've seen enough of them play, and there aren't many who light you up.
No, I'm with drafting one though, and if he has to be your third next year while you get a veteran
sure.
in case something happens, I'm fine with it. But like team like Washington, they took Sam Howell in the fourth round, whatever round they took him in. He started the last game of season. Now he's projected to be their starter next year. Malik Willis, that didn't work out this year, but they still have a quarterback in the pipeline who's had some experience now. I don't know if he'll get better. That's if he will see. But those are things that you spend those third and fourth round picks on and fifth round picks. And, you get a young guy that has something you think you can work with. And then a year later, they can be a competent backup, or even if they get that good start. But that's what they got to do. And they did that a couple times over the years, the Ruddock pick and the guy from Miami whose name is escaping me at the minute, by Felicia.
He never played,
But I'm just saying, though, they tried. And I don't have a problem with them trying. It failed, but I'm down with that. They tried to do that. That was Bob Quinn. He did try to do that. So you give him credit. But you got to – now Holmes has got to do that.
Well, Holmes and Quinn both said the same thing. Look, it's a priority position. You cannot ignore it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that works out. All right, Mike, that's it for this week. Big games next week out of the Cincinnati Bengals at Kansas City. And the game I'm really excited to see, I want to see this Eagles game against the 49ers, because Darius Slay, I was listening to some cuts of him yesterday. He's cracking me up. Boy, every time I see Slay out there, I think back to why did you let him go?
They didn't let him go. They got a third-round pick, but it wasn't fair value. That was still a good player and really one of the good guys on that team, too. He really was.
Yeah, and he would have stayed.
Absolutely. He didn't have any choice, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're talking about, I think he had 1 year left on the contract. He liked it here. Yeah. He liked it here, sure. Man. And he would have stayed. And just imagine last year with him on the other side of Cuda.
No. And like, let me just repeat again, he was well-liked in the building among the people who worked there and all that. He and both, they just good guys, really.
Yeah. It was just one person that didn't like him.
Well, that was a big person.
Yeah, it was a big person. And that's why they're interviewing offensive coordinators in New England now, too. So, all right, Mike, that's it for this week. Any final thoughts?
No, just, you know what, I like Joe Burrow in this game. I really do. I think they're going to win, and I would not be surprised if the Eagles lose. I really wouldn't. I just think the 49ers are so tough up front. They just make life miserable for you.
Depending on Mahomes' ankle and if he can play, I think Kansas City will win just because they're at home. I'm taking them over because Cincinnati lost 3 offensive linemen. That's got to follow you sooner or later. With Chris Jones over on Kansas City, I just think he's going to raise hell this week. I just think that this is a week because of just being at home, Kansas City's going to win this game. That's if Mahomes is, you know, able to play.
Well, maybe we can have one of our Friday chat sessions.
Maybe we should have one. I think, you know what, we'll have a Friday, little short 10-minute chat Friday, so check back with us Friday. And by that time, we'll know what's going on, and we'll talk about that too. And anything else that happens during the week. I predict there might be a coach hired before Friday. Just one. I don't know which team, but isn't this the week that they use some of the teams usually hire?
Could be, you know, but there's a certain point where the National Football League doesn't want any business done during Super Bowl weekend. I forget exactly what the cutoff is.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet. Either.
Right. So we'll see. All right, Mike. That's Michael Harris, DetroitLions.com. Check him out. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Mitch Album Show. See you later.